Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about, 75, 76 degrees outside. I'm a little under the weather, but the show must go on since there's no show on Friday, so I thought I had to have a show, at least one show this week. Like I said, enjoying the weather outside, even though I didn't really go outside, but nice weather outside. But we have a lot of sports to talk about on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E @hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Mo Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Also, don't forget the show is available on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. And I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're going to wrap up the draft. I'll give you my thoughts. We'll go back over the first round of the draft, and also I'll give you my teams I thought really had really solid drafts and teams I thought had questionable drafts. So we'll do that coming up here in a couple of minutes. Also, we'll talk about the weekend that was in the NBA playoffs and get you ready for the conference semifinals, which is underway. We'll start really Sunday. We had a game one in the Washington-Boston series, so we'll talk about that as well. But before we talk NFL draft and NFL playoffs, we can talk some other sports topics as well. We can talk baseball. The Yankees, they take 2 out of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles. This weekend, the Yankees came back from 9-1 down to beat the O's 14-11. Sterling Castro had a game-tying two-run shot in the ninth. Matt Holliday, he had the walk-off three-run home run for the New York Yankees there. So he's been playing pretty good. Now, Matt Holliday's turned the clock back, Father Time. He's playing some really good baseball right now. And then the Yankees won game two, 12-4. Aaron Judge, he had a two-run home run, his 10th in the month. And then Brent Gardner had 4 RBIs. So really the bats for the Yankees is really coming alive. But I've been impressed with the starting pitching as well. I think the starting pitching has been really good for the Yankees as well. So the first two games of the series, they scored 26 runs. They did lose on Sunday 7-4 in extra innings. But taking 2 out of 3 for Baltimore, that's a win. You won the series. So I'm really impressed right now for the Yankees. I'm not going to say they're back yet, you know. I like this team so far. And then when Gary Sanchez gets healthy, I'm really going to like the New York Yankees team. But it's really early. Again, you don't want to let your highs be too high, your lows be too low. Again, Yankees off to a really good start, but it's just a start. A lot of games left to be played. Also, the Boston Red Sox, they took 2 out of 3 from the Chicago Cubs this weekend. I know the Cubs, it's going to be hard for them to match the level of intensity they had last year, obviously trying to win the first World Series in 1908. It's kind of easy to get, you know, kind of fat and lazy, to be honest with you. They're still first place. Last I saw, they were still first place in the NL Central by only about a game. It might be down to a half a game or whatever. But, again, still early on when the Cubs, when they get their bats going, they still have one of the better lineups. Does the Chicago Cubs, so we'll see how that goes. I hope they don't get their bats going this weekend. Cubs versus Yankees this weekend, that'll be great. So definitely looking forward to that series, so we can talk about that. We can also talk about the NHL playoffs. The Pittsburgh Penguins are up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals. So a great start to the series so far for Pittsburgh. They take a commanding 2-0 lead on the Washington Capitals. Sidney Crosby versus Alec Ovechkin. I really thought the Capitals, a lot of people were picking the Capitals to win the whole thing. We'll see. They've been in trouble. They were in trouble in the first round. We'll see if they can turn it around. It'll be tough. There's no doubt about that. But they have the talent to do it, so we'll see if they can. Obviously, the next game is a must-win for Washington. You go down 3-0, see you later. Probably not going to happen for you. So a must-win game for Washington in Game 3. It's going to be very, very tough to say the least, but we'll see if they can get the job done. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we'll talk NFL draft. We'll go over the first round, and also I'll let you know who I thought had a really solid draft and who I thought had a questionable draft. We'll do all that next after listening to some Ariana Grande on Moose Sports.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Boy, you made me feel so lucky.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. But let's turn to the NFL draft. Let's talk all things NFL draft. We can look back over the first round again. Cleveland, no surprises. They go defensive end Myles Garrett. I thought that was a really obviously the smart pick for the Browns. I'm in NBA playoff mode for the Browns. That was a really smart pick for the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, I heard that they might draft a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. I said, that wouldn't be smart. I would be happy as a 49er fan. That means the 49ers would get Myles Garrett, but that didn't happen. So Cleveland, that was a smart decision for them to pick Myles Garrett. And number two, the Bears did move up and picked Mitch Trubisky. It'll be interesting if he turns out to be their franchise quarterback. Man, it'll be very interesting. I don't see that happening, but we shall wait and see. It'll be very, very interesting. The 49ers, they moved down because they traded with the Bears. The Bears moved up to 2. The 49ers moved down to 3 and also got some more picks. I thought that was a nice move for the San Francisco 49ers. And they get a defensive end, Solomon Thomas, who they were going to get at 2 more than likely anyway. So, again, I thought that was a very, very smart draft decision there by the 49ers. So we'll talk more about the 49ers coming up in a little bit. The Jaguars, they got running back Leonard Fournette out of LSU. I really like him. I know he has an issue staying healthy at times, but my goodness, he can run around you. He can run through you. Just power and force. Not the fastest guy in the world, but, man, he can really run through you. He can break tackles. I like that pick for the Jaguars there. The Titans, they had an interesting pick, wide receiver Corey Davis. I saw him in that bowl game against Wisconsin. Obviously, he's a talented player, but it'll be interesting to see. He's only the second player ever from the MAC to be drafted that high. I think him and Randy Moss. So it'll be interesting how it does with the Tennessee Titans. I like the Jets pick at 6, getting a defensive back Jamal Adams. We talked about this on Friday's show. I really like their pick there. I thought the L.A. Chargers, well, look, Phillip Rivers needed some weapons. They got him a weapon, wide receiver Mike Williams out of Clemson. I thought I was a little high at number 7, but obviously he's a big-time talent. There's no doubt about that. He catches well in space. He's pretty fast, so I just thought it was a little high at 7, but the Chargers definitely needed some weapons for Phillip Rivers there, so not shocked, but I was a little surprised they would select him that high. Don't forget, if you want to talk NFL draft, You want to talk anything in the world of sports, NBA playoffs, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Looking over the first round that took place on Thursday, Carolina, they selected running back Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford. He can help you in multiple ways. He can be a punt returner. He can be a kickoff returner. He can cast the ball at the wideout position. A weapon for Cam Newton. I think he's going to do really well with Carolina. I really do. I think I like that selection there for Carolina at 8. Cincinnati, they drafted John Ross really high. Most people had him going in the late first round, but he goes to Cincinnati. He ran a 4.2. Now that's Olympic speed right there. Obviously, you needed a weapon to complement AJ Green, so maybe John Ross will fit into that mode. We'll see. Obviously not the biggest guy in the world, but when you can run a 4.2, my goodness, that is flying. So we'll see what happens there. Kansas City, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech. Strong arm quarterback, but was he a more of a system quarterback playing under Texas Tech? We shall wait and see. Obviously Kansas City, they need some assurance for Alex Smith. Maybe Patrick Mahomes one day could take over for Alex Smith. We'll see. Not in the near future, I don't think. But maybe he can learn under Alex Smith and grow into a good NFL quarterback. But I definitely thought that was a little high at 10 for Kansas City. But maybe that'll turn out to be a great pick for Kansas City. The Saints, they definitely needed some cornerback help. They got that with that 11th selection, selecting that cornerback Marshawn Lattimore out of Ohio State University. I think he's a big-time talented cornerback. I think Marshawn Lattimore definitely can help the New Orleans Saints. The Houston Texans, they selected that quarterback, Deshaun Watson, out of Clemson. I'm not shocked at all that they went quarterback. Excuse me. Obviously, they have some quarterback issues, and they get Deshaun Watson. I think he'll put up the best numbers for any rookie quarterback, assuming he gets to play. Tom Savage is their starting quarterback right now, but after Sean Watson does get in there, I definitely think he can help Houston. You know, Houston, they're really going to lean on their defense, so the key for Deshaun Watson, not turn the ball over at times. He did that too much in college, so that's going to be a key when he plays. If he does get in and plays for the Texans, avoiding the big turnovers, but they have a lot of weapons, obviously DeAndre Hopkins. So I like that selection there for Houston getting Deshaun Watson there. Arizona linebacker Hassan Reddick out of Temple. I've heard a lot of good things about him. He can make plays all over the field, so I like that selection there for them. I thought the Eagles had a great selection. You know, my favorite college football team is the Tennessee Volunteers. They selected Derek Barnett, and, man, he can really get pressure on the quarterback. High motor guy. He comes off that edge. He's relentless, so I like that selection there for the Eagles. That's the Colts. They made a smart selection getting the safety out of Ohio State, Malik Hooker. I think he definitely could be a big-time difference maker for the Colts, and the Colts definitely needed a lot of secondary help. So, and then the Ravens, they needed some cornerback help. And at 16, they got Marlon Humphreys out of Alabama University. I think Roll Tide, like a lot of people like to say, but I think he'll definitely help the Ravens secondary. I think he could be a difference maker. The Redskins, I thought they had you get Jonathan Allen. We talked about this on Friday in our favorite segment. We chatting with Greg, with my co-host on Friday, Greg. Jonathan Allen, defensive end, Alabama. Most people had him as a top 10 selection. You get him at 17. That is a great pick there for the Redskins. And that leads me to my NFL draft winners and my teams I thought had questionable drafts. I thought my winners, the 49ers. Obviously, you get Solomon Thomas at that number with the number 3 selection. You move down. First of all, you get more picks. Then you get Solomon Thomas, the big-time defensive end out of Stanford. Then you get Reuben Foster, who some people say is the best linebacker out of Alabama. You get him late in the first round. So you address needs on the defensive side of the football, and the 49ers definitely had issues stopping the run. So now you get a big-time guy in the front seven. You get two big-time guys in the front seven that hopefully can help stop the run. I think that's a nice draft selection there for the 49ers. I thought also the Browns, and I know a lot of Browns fans are probably laughing at me right now, but I thought they had a really good draft as well. They didn't take a risk and take someone else other than Myles Garrett. I thought that was really smart. And also they get Jabril Peppers, who I think is a really talented player in the first round. Obviously the Browns and the 49ers had the most picks, but still I thought they did a really good job with their drafts. I thought they did a really good job with their selections, getting Jamal Adams, also Marcus May, I believe his name is, a safety out of Florida. I think he could be a really big-time difference maker for the New York Jets. They want to improve defensively. Obviously, they have some offensive issues. And also, they got Jordan Leggett. Watch out for him, the tight end out of Clemson late. Was it in the fifth or sixth round? But anyway, I think he can definitely help the Jets if he gets some playing time. The Redskins, like I said, we talked about Jonathan Allen. I thought that was a nice selection there. And they got Samaje Perine in the fourth round. And I think Samaje Perine could really help the Redskins, especially in short yardage situations. But I think he can make some big plays, especially when he gets out in open space. But he can get you those tough yards that you're going to have to get in those big moments when you need a key first down. I think Samaje Perine can get those big first downs for you. So I like that selection there for the Washington Redskins. My teams, I thought, had questionable drafts. I thought Kansas City, obviously, getting Patrick Mahomes, trading up and getting him at the 10th selection, I thought that was really questionable. I thought very, very questionable there for Kansas City. We'll see. Maybe that'll turn out well for them, but I thought they had a questionable draft. We'll see. And then Cincinnati, obviously they got some talented players. There's no doubt about that, but who did they get in that first round? I'm trying to think who they got in that first round there. Oh, yeah, John Ross. Again, talented guy, but you get him with the ninth pick. I thought that was a little high. And then you draft Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon is a big-time talent. There's no doubt about that. He's a first-round talent that you got in the second round. But as we all know about the incident in Oklahoma, and like we talked about on Friday's show, he's definitely a public relations nightmare. You're going to have all these groups calling you, trying to boycott Cincinnati Bengals football. He's going to produce on the football field, but can you handle that? Can you handle the pressure that that they're going to put on you for drafting Joe Mixon? There's going to be a lot of pressure. There's going to be a lot of people complaining, a lot of people threatening to boycott, maybe a lot of people boycotting. So can you handle that? That's why I thought Cincinnati's draft there was questionable. They also got Jordan Evans, another OU player as well. So maybe that will help Joe Mixon, get acclimated to the NFL life of having a teammate with him in Cincinnati. I think that was interesting. And Jordan Evans is a good linebacker as well. He's a talented player, but I definitely thought they had a questionable draft. But look at, like I said, let's not act holier than now. We've all made mistakes. We've all learned from those mistakes. So let's give Joe Mixon a chance here, and let's see how he does with the Cincinnati Bengals. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world of sports, you want to talk NFL draft, you want to talk NBA playoffs, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes here, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. But right now we're going to play some music from the Jackson 5. When we come back, we'll talk about the weekend that was, the NBA playoffs. We'll do all that next on Moe's Sports Talk. Welcome back to Moe's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world of sports, it's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. But let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA playoffs. The Wizards, they closed out the Atlanta Hawks. They withstood a comeback from Atlanta. They beat Atlanta 115-99. John Wall, 42 points and 8 assists. 19 of those points come in the fourth quarter to hold off Atlanta. Bradley Beal, he scored 31. Markieff Morris had 17, so it was good. If you're a Washington fan, to see Markieff Morris play really well. They shot 54% from the field. They hit 10 threes. So excellent ball movement there for the Washington Wizards. Better on defense as well. The last two games of that series, they were really good defensively. They had 7 blocks for Atlanta. Paul Millsap, he had 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. Dennis Schroeder had 26 and 10, but they shot just 47% from the field. They were 9 of 32 from threes, and they also had 22 turnovers. Again, that was an issue for Atlanta all series long. They turned the ball over way too much. Give Washington credit, but some of those turnovers were just unforced turnovers, carelessness. Look, when you're playing a team that I think is more talented than you, you cannot turn the ball over that much. 20 and 18 and 20 and 22 turnovers, that'll get you beat, and that's what happened to Atlanta on Friday night. Also, the Washington Wizards, they'll meet the Boston Celtics, because the Boston Celtics dominated Chicago, coming back from 2-0 down, beating the Bulls 105-83. All 5 starters for the Boston Celtics were in double figures. Avery Bradley had 23 points. I thought Gerald Green, he made a big difference in that series, besides Rajon Rondo getting injured, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I thought Gerald Green being inserted into the starting lineup, I should say, made a big difference with the Boston Celtics. Isaiah Thomas only scored 12 points on 4 of 11 shooting, but he also had 6 assists. They shot 49% from the field, and they hit 16 threes. They had 28 assists as well. Excellent ball movement by the Boston Celtics. That was a big difference there. And also, it was easier for them to move the ball offensively with Rajon Rondo being injured. Obviously, I think I would have been wrong on that. I would have been wrong on that series if Rajon Rondo had been healthy, if he hadn't got injured and missed after game 2, missed the rest of that series. I think the Bulls would have upset the Boston Celtics. But that being said, give credit to Boston to win 4 straight games after losing your first 2 games at home. That is very impressive. Jimmy Butler scored 23 points. Dwayne Wade scored 2 points on 1 of 10 shooting. They shot just 40% for the field. They were 4 of 19 from 3. So excellent Boston defense as well. Chicago just didn't have enough scoring, and Boston moves on to play the Wizards. Game 1 took place on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a minute. Also, the Clippers on Friday night, they did force a Game 7. They beat the Jazz 98-93. Chris Paul had 29 points and 8 assists. He killed him with that high pick and roll. DeAndre Jordan had 13 points and 8 boards. And they got some unexpected points. Lou Obiamute, I think I pronounced his name right, and Austin Rivers, they each scored 13, but J.J. Redick only scored 4 points in game number 6. They needed more from him in game 7. We'll talk about that in a minute. They shot just 49. They did shoot 49% for the field, so they shot the ball really well for the Jazz. Gordon Hayward scored 31. George Hill had 22. Rudy Gobert had 15. They shot just 41% from the field, and they shot terribly from 3. So the Clippers did force a game 7. And you would think Clippers are at home, they would win game 7. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Also, let's get to talking about the games on Sunday. We had game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinal between Washington and Boston. Boston took a 1-0 lead, beating Washington yesterday 123-111. 5 Boston Celtics players were in double figures. Isaiah Thomas, he was big time. He had 33 points and 9 assists. You know, his sister's funeral was on Saturday, and he comes back on Sunday to play the game like that. And he also loses a tooth, too. That was pretty crazy. And it was crazy that they tried to put the tooth in. What in the world? I was like, what, are you serious? You're going to try to – are you a dentist? Why are you going to try to put the man's tooth in? That didn't work, by the way. But anyway, I mean, where did they find – I mean, come on, man. You're a trainer. Why in the world are you trying to put a tooth – you're not a dentist. Don't do that, man. What are you doing? But anyway, Al Horford, he had 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists, 1 assist shy of a triple-double there. And Jay Crowder added 24. They shot 51% from the field, and they had 32 assists. They hit 19 of 39 threes. In the words of Shaquille O'Neal, they can shoot that thing. That was impressive. The ball movement was excellent. And don't forget, they were down 16-0 to start the game. I mean, before the Boston Celtic fans could get in their seats really good, they were down 16-0. It looked really ugly for Boston. But give them credit. They hung in there. They stayed. They fought hard. They played some better defense as well after that first quarter when their defense was awful. They gave up, I think, 38 points, and after that they played some really much better defense as well. That made the big difference. But their ability to knock down that three-point shot, my goodness, it seems like their ability to generate good looks off of dribble drive penetration is really, really impressive. For the Washington Wizards, Bradley Beal, he scored 27. John Wall had 20 points and 16 assists. Otto Porter had 6-11. It did hurt Washington that Markieff Morris, he went out of the game. I believe it was in the second quarter with a sprained ankle. That definitely hurt the Washington Wizards there. But Washington shot 51% for the field, but they just could not get a stop in the second half. I mean, my goodness, they couldn't get a stop. And Celtics' offense was just unbelievable in that second half. Their ability to knock down that three-point shot was the difference. You allow a team to hit 19 threes in game two, and Washington has any chance of winning in Boston. Obviously, their perimeter defense is going to have to be much, much better. And their defense as a whole, that's been my one issue with Washington all season long. That's why I picked Boston, by the way, to win this series. Could be wrong. A lot of people are picking Washington, but Washington's defense at times is really, really poor. And now, look, they played the last game 5 and game 6 against Atlanta. They played excellent defense, holding them to 99 points in each game. That's really good for Washington, but they're going to have to get back to that level. I mean, that giving up 123 points, that is ridiculous. After the first quarter, they got no stops. I mean, Mike, Boston got anything and everything they wanted on the offensive end, so that's going to have to turn around for Washington if Washington has any chance of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to have to turn that around, so we'll see if they can do that in Game 2 on Tuesday night. And then finally, we did have one Game 7. I went 7-1 in picking first-round NBA playoff series, 7-1, so could have been 8-0, but the Clippers. They lose to the Jazz. The Jazz stunned the Clippers, beating them 104-91. Gordon Hayward had 26 points and 8 rebounds. Derek Favors had a double-double, 17 points and 11 rebounds. And George Hill added 17 as well. 7 Jazz players were in double figures. And they shot 51% from the field, only 8 turnovers. They also were plus 8 on the glass. This whole series, not just Game 7, the whole series was played at the Jazz pace. There's no doubt about that. The Clippers could not get speed the Jazz up and get this game at an up-and-down tempo. They could not score in transition. Couldn't get any open looks from that three-point line, and that was the big difference in the series. Obviously, since I picked the Clippers, I would like to have seen the Clippers have a healthy Blake Griffin, but that didn't happen. Give credit to the Jazz. Again, the game was played at their pace, and that's when they're really good. When they shoot a high percentage, when they don't turn the ball over, and when they dominate on the glass, it's hard to speed them up. It's hard to force them to pick up the tempo, and that's what took place on Sunday. Also, DeAndre Jordan, he had a nice game, 24 points and 17 rebounds, but he was 6-15 from the free throw line. Utah did a great job. Anytime he was about to dunk it, they forced him to go to the foul line when he usually just made 1 of 2, and sometimes neither. Jamal Crawford had 20 points off the bench. Chris Paul scored 13, but on 6-19 shooting, he struggled in the second half. Again, give credit to the Jazz defense. They're an excellent defensive team. They did a job on Chris Paul in game number 7 after the first quarter when he had some success. After that, he didn't have much success. J.J. Redick only scoring 3 points. He scored 3 more points than me. That's never good. That's never good. And obviously, J.J. Redick's a free agent. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands, but he was awful. He was awful. That's all you can say. And J.J. Redick is one of my favorite all-time players. You know, he's a Duke. He's a guy. But he struggled. He really struggled. Give credit to the Jazz defensively. The Clippers shot just 44% from the field. They were 6-25 from threes. But again, pace of play. Pace of play was key for the Jazz. Looking ahead for the Jazz, boy, I know Golden State wanted to play the Clippers because the Jazz, they don't have much nightlife. Don't get too cocky, Golden State. Don't get too cocky, Warrior fans. But that being said, I don't see the Jazz winning more than a game in that series. I would pick worse than 5. I don't see it. Obviously, the Jazz are going to have to really get the game at their pace, but I think they're going to struggle to score. Don't forget the Warriors. they can play some excellent defense as well. I mean, they can play some lockdown defense. Don't get it twisted. The Warriors can play some really good defense, so I think the Warriors in five. Cleveland takes on Toronto coming up in about 5 minutes here on TNT. Looking forward to that. I think Toronto has a chance. I like the additions they made with Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker, but I think King James will be a little too much. They have too much offensive weaponry, so I like Cleveland in that. And then we have Spurs and Houston. Again, I'm going to take – I know a lot of people are picking the Rockets. The Spurs, sometimes they struggle to score the basketball, but I think the Spurs defensively, that will be the difference. I think that will be the difference. I think this series goes the distance. I'm hoping not, because Game 7 will be on Monday, and I don't see any basketball on Mother's Day. So anyway, but I think we will have a Game 7 in that series on Mother's Day, but we shall wait and see. We'll talk more about that on my next show on Monday. Don't forget, there will be no show on Friday. I'm going to be watching Guardians of the Galaxy. I'll let you know about that movie on Monday. So have a blessed rest of your week. Trust in God. God is good. And we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.